Hello, and thank you for listening to our podcast report of the IP Inclusive Allies and Supporters event held on the 30th of June 2020. This event, hosted by IP Inclusive's North of England and Midlands networks, took place online with an attendance of around 100 people from across the profession and the country. It was a reschedule from the original face-to-face event planned for March, and we are very grateful to IP Inclusive for their support in converting this event into a purely online format. Building upon the popular London event titled Allies, Advocates and Supporters, held in January 2019, we hoped to provide an opportunity for attendees to share personal experiences and to learn how we can all better support our diverse communities. We were lucky enough to be supported by some highly knowledgeable speakers who shared their experiences, as well as offering insights for both employers and colleagues wanting to be allies, supporters and advocates for each other. After the presentations, there were some lively discussions in Zoom breakout rooms where people shared thoughts and ideas on a wide range of the issues raised around allies and support. So, before we look at some of the topics in more detail, we wanted to say thank you to the speakers. Martin Fish from HGF, Jonathan Fogarty from CFG Law, Kingsley Egwuanu from Managing IP, David Ewing from BAE Systems, and Parminda Lally from Apple Yardley's. Also thank you to the hosts of each breakout room, and to all of the attendees for their part in making this such an enjoyable and at times thought-provoking event. Starting from a discussion title of Allies and Supporters, How to Be One and the Benefits It Brings, the speakers and breakout discussions covered a wide range of topics which stimulated debates around, among others, the roles of allies and mentors in improving diversity and inclusion, practical steps that can be taken to become an ally, practical steps to improving corporate diversity, whether ally and mentoring schemes can be successful in the absence of genuine corporate commitment to improving diversity and inclusion, the problems of tokenism, and the ongoing need to engage the skeptics. Events like this are, after all, preaching to the choir. To take the first of these topics, the role of allies and mentors in improving diversity and inclusion. The speakers shared the view that being an ally means being supportive, by offering a listening ear or a helping hand to anyone in need, and that the role can be as big or small as the individual is comfortable with. For instance, we can all be allies simply by treating those in underrepresented groups in exactly the same way as we treat everyone else. Specifically, by treating them fairly and equally, valuing them for what they can do and who they are. It was discussed by Martin, who was speaking on behalf of IP Out, and Kingsley, who was speaking on behalf of IP and me, that sometimes barriers are created because we are worried about causing offence by asking questions, but that one of the key aspects of offering support as an ally is understanding that it's better to ask and get it wrong than to not ask. It can be the experience of minority groups that those around them don't ask even the simplest questions, such as how was your weekend? So ask, and don't be afraid of the answer. Even small steps of this kind were felt to go a long way to creating an environment of inclusion and openness. The importance of creating an open environment, where everyone can share how they're feeling, was discussed by Martin and Jonathan, who represented IP Ability at this event. This was in the context of understanding the daily challenges that may be faced by minority groups. Even if the workplace is inclusive, the outside world may not be, and it can be a comfort to be able to share those concerns. It was felt by many that by creating a safe environment for employees, their productivity and the corporate bottom line can be improved. Jonathan noted the particular need for those with physical disabilities to be supported, as to work effectively they may require slightly different working practices and a different environment than others. This is an issue less often encountered by other minority groups. Martin, on the other hand, raised the issue of it not always being obvious that you're a minority. For instance, if you're part of the LGBTQ+ community. In some instances, this leads to a situation where you have to regularly come out to new people and make choices about whether to be open with clients. This is very different from the situation encountered where any prejudice might be gender or race-based, making the situation for LGBTQ+ individuals, and also for people with disabilities that aren't immediately visible, more complex in some senses. For these reasons, it was felt that the impact that the support of allies can have on a business is enormous, and as an ally, helping to create a fairer, more just workplace where everyone can give their best is hugely rewarding. The importance of mentoring was also raised by Jonathan and Parminder, who was present on behalf of Women in IP, and by attendees in the breakout sessions. Mentoring was felt to be an invaluable way of promoting inclusion and also potentially diversity. For instance, it was felt by some that offering mentoring to graduates seeking to join the profession could help to encourage underrepresented groups into the profession, with ongoing mentoring during the early stages of their career. Indeed, whether or not someone is in an underrepresented group, it was felt that having a mentor to guide and focus the mentee on areas of their job that will help them to progress is beneficial. Ideally, a mentor would share a common background or experience with the mentee, and it can be difficult to find suitable mentors, particularly in small organisations. With this in mind, it was suggested that an independent cross-corporate mentor scheme could be of benefit to all. When considering the practical steps that could be taken to become an ally, David Ewing, an ally at BAE Systems, speaking on behalf of IP Futures, shared with us some key aspects of being an ally. The first of these was held to be self-awareness. For those wishing to become an ally, understanding your own prejudices so that you can consider them and rise above them was held to be vital. Added to this is a willingness to learn. Accepting where you are now and taking the time to research the issues helps understanding and better equips you, as an ally, to offer the support that is often needed. Then comes the willingness to stand up and be counted as an ally, to be visible so that people know, without having to be mind readers, that you will be there to support them. Then finally, perhaps the most difficult but important part of being an ally, is being prepared to take action. No matter how small that action may be, for instance, asking a simple question about how someone is feeling, listening to their reply and being genuinely interested in their answer, or large, such as challenging the status quo or calling out inappropriate behaviour. As an ally, you need to be prepared to take action. And that might be uncomfortable. You might need to call out your friend or your boss. But having the courage to make a difference is part of the reward for being an ally. David and Martin also discussed that setting up an ally's network can be easy, but that having support from the leadership within the company, in terms of both time and money, is vital. The first step could be gathering together a group of individuals who want to be involved, then setting up a launch event. Even if that event is simple and small, it doesn't take away from the symbolic value. The allies will need to consider how to create ongoing visibility, and promotional materials will almost certainly be needed. The holding of regular events in key thoroughfares within buildings, such as lobbies or kitchens, can work well to keep the network on everyone's radar. Looking at practical steps that can be taken to improve corporate diversity, it was good to hear that many of our speakers have had mostly positive experiences in their workplace environments, some feeling that there had been no negative impact on their career at all. However, it was widely acknowledged that the battle is far from over, and much still needs to be done. Indeed, Parminder asked the question of whether, if we all know about discrimination, why is this still an issue? And what do we need to do to stop it? Martin and Parminder, together with many attendees in the breakout sessions, noted that the profession remains dominated by straight, white, middle-class men. This is particularly true when you look at the demographic of those within senior roles. Kingsley shared a recent SITMAR survey of a focus group of BAME IP practitioners. In the survey, 93% of the respondents felt that our profession is not diverse. If you're interested in learning more, the data is in the March issue of the SITMAR Review, which also used data from IP Inclusive's 2019 benchmarking survey. However, in this regard, Kingsley noted that it would be useful to have more data on diversity in the profession. Discussions, particularly in the breakout rooms, covered a wide range of suggestions to change the image of the profession and improve this situation. Suggestions included encouraging companies to change the focus of their websites, holding special events targeted at minority entrants, mentoring, the sharing of personal experiences, and sending a more diverse range of staff to career events. It was also questioned whether recruitment materials paint a true picture of a firm. Are they full of minority groups for marketing purposes? And when does this constitute tokenism? If the intentions are good, is tokenism of this type acceptable? Regardless of the answer, and no consensus was reached, it was felt that the more diversity that is visible within the profession, the more the profession will be seen as a safe and welcoming place for minorities, and that over time such marketing can only help. Considering the gender imbalance, Parminder noted that by being aware of gender discrimination and bias, men can play a vital role in supporting women by challenging inappropriate comments, ensuring that their female colleagues have the opportunity to be heard and that they receive credit for their ideas. As already mentioned, the need for genuine corporate commitment to diversity and inclusion was also discussed. And Martin commented that a company can only be truly diverse and inclusive if the message and the commitment come from the top down. It was widely agreed that this has to be a true commitment with genuine support and visible action from senior staff, not just corporate flag waving or the required wearing of lanyards. It was felt that for those in a leadership position, it is part of their job to create an inclusive environment. And to do that, they need to have a mindset where they truly believe that change is needed. Actions that could change the culture were discussed. For instance, these could include commitments to recruit the best talent regardless of background, which could in turn include looking in non-traditional places for that talent, such as outside the Russell Group universities. The need for a truly open culture was also held to be important. In an environment where people can talk honestly and openly, without hiding anything, and importantly without fear on either side, people can be happy and feel welcome. This was held to be vital for staff recruitment and retention. Further, it was noted by David that there is an increasing scrutiny of corporate responsibility policies, both by potential recruits and by potential clients, such that in the absence of a considered and active allies program, client work and future staff could be lost. Finally, Parminder raised the issue of whether companies need to consider whether their promotion criteria are accommodating to underrepresented groups. Are changes needed to accommodate their needs and recognize their specific talents? Comments were made that perhaps a one-size-fits-all career path is inappropriate, or maybe even discriminatory. She also stimulated discussion around whether submissions to publications, such as Legal 500, should be representative of the diversity within the company, and where such submissions are clearly lacking in candidates from the less well-represented groups, whether this should be queried by the publication. With regard to the issue of tokenism, Parminder and Kingsley noted that it's self-evident that no one wants to be a token. This goes against the wish to be treated fairly and equally. This discussion was continued in the breakout sessions, where there were comments from minority group delegates that they don't know whether they had been put forward as part of tenders or promoted purely because they ticked the box. They even raised concerns that they would never truly know whether they'd earned their opportunities on the merits. Discussions were also had around whether companies should withhold their endorsement for awards which are gender-specific, and whether, when organising an event, there should be an insistence on speakers from minority groups. Given the current potential pool of speakers in our profession, it was held to be a difficult balance between being representative and organising an event with the most technically qualified speakers. The ongoing issue of how to engage with and convince the sceptics also came up, primarily in the breakout rooms. It was felt that mindsets can often be entrenched to the point where it is difficult to even elicit an acknowledgement that there's any problem with diversity. So how do we engage the sceptics? Suggestions included fact-based approaches around the bottom line, for instance based around reduced staff turnover. Another suggestion raised the idea of asking IPREG to modify the CPD criteria so that attendance at least one IP-inclusive event per year became mandatory. And, central to the theme of this event, allies were also suggested as having a role in helping to educate the sceptics. In conclusion, this event was both enjoyable and thought-provoking, with more take-home messages than can be provided here. However, a theme that seemed to run through the entire session was that to create a diverse and inclusive workplace culture, talking and seeking to understand are vital. With this in mind, the presence of allies and mentors at all levels of a company seems key. Given support from their companies, allies and mentors can be empowered to change workplace cultures, providing environments of openness and understanding where no one need hide who they are or where they've come from. Thank you very much for listening.